Prices Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Grace Remington here with me as we get ready to talk some Belmont here in about 15 minutes with Mike Somich. But written down on my little piece of paper here, and it looks like producer Corey has already pulled the tweet. Something I was going to talk about is Aaron Rodgers went ahead, did sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a one-year deal, $13.65 million. $10 million of that is guaranteed. It is up to $19.5 million based off playing time and team performance incentives and all the different things like that, being, you know, showing up for training camp and all of the stuff that you see with all of that. So here we go. It is official. Aaron Rodgers is going to be your quarterback, at least if he doesn't get hurt or whatever. I mean, he is scheduled to be the quarterback there, Grace, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Does this or does this not change your opinion of this team, this division, any sort of anything with the Pittsburgh Steelers and or the North?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, really excited about that week one matchup now that it's official. Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields swapping teams there. I gave this early pick out last week, but Jets plus three in that week one game. Aaron Rodgers in week one is 1-5. Might be 1-4, but either way, not good. And Justin Fields, the last three seasons, actually has better underlying metrics than Aaron Rodgers does. So I think that's one of those lines you can bet now because it'll probably be closer once we finally get there to kickoff. But glad it's finally official so we don't have to, you know, keep sending TMZ after him to snipe pictures on the beach or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, so you look around and it's like, yeah, okay, they got DK Metcalf. So you do have that, but it's not an incredibly talented wide receiving core. It's, you know, the offensive line is just middling at best. Pat Freiermuth never really broke out. I mean, that's not to say he can't, but never really broke out. I mean, the handicap here on this team is just that the defense should be much better than he had with the Jets. You know, so I mean, you do have an awesome defensive line. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You do have an awesome defensive line. You bring in Slay at corner. He obviously can still ball. So you've got that. Got a couple of good safeties. So, I mean, they'll win some games, but it might not be necessarily because of Aaron Rodgers. They'll win some games because he can muster up 24 points on the scoreboard and the defense only gives up 17.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. Although that just reminded me of that week one stat. I guess in his season openers, he's only scored over 10 points one time in those week one games.
Yeah.
So I'm just going back to that. But yeah, actually, I'll give props to Steve Mackinnon for this because he just posted an article with all these veteran quarterback on new teams trends. Mm-hmm. And it's basically you fade the veterans for the first few weeks of the season. Cause it's not pretty. It, you know, no matter how much experience you have, there's always going to be, you know, a learning curve and some growth there. I recommend everyone go read it, but basically it's, you want to fade these veteran quarterbacks in the month of September and then start backing them in October. So that's what I'll be looking to do here.
Yeah. It's to me, I'm hoping now that the news is officially official. Me and Somich talk about this all the time. It's like, it's the weirdest thing where stuff's writing, like it's written on the wall that it's going to happen, but like the lines don't move and the markets don't adjust until mm-hmm. things are officially official. I'm hoping that this win total moves and or at least the juice moves so I can bet against this team because I don't know how much is left in the tank for Aaron Rodgers and I don't know if it's going to matter because there's not that much more skill around him on the offensive side than he had with the Jets. I mean, it's basically kind of a push there and you might could even say it's worse. You might like Garrett Wilson better than you like DK Metcalf and all of this. So I'm going to look to fade them if at all possible, but I'm going to need the stuff to shift just a little bit.
I'm seeing the under 8.5 wins is -140. So you're just waiting for a more nicer price on that one.
I'm hoping that people go, oh, Aaron Rodgers, wow, the team's got to be better, you know, and then maybe we can get a little bit more favorable juice mm-hmm. there on that thing. You do have a play in the Rangers and the Nats, and shockingly, I do as well. We did not talk before this, so just let you know, we both found some plays that we like here on this thing. Jacob DeGrom is going for the Rangers. Mitchell Parker is going for the Nats. The Rangers, as you would imagine, behind Jacob DeGrom, big favorites on the road. Minus 171 over at DraftKings, plus 140. Nats at home as dogs. A flat eight is your total. How are you looking to play this thing?
So I actually bet the over 8.5 at plus 110 last night. I know DeGrom is the GOAT, but he is due some regression here. He has a 2.34 actual ERA, but a 3.14 expected, a 3.64 FIP. And that luck shows when you look at his strand rate, 90% is really high. And then Mitchell Parker on the other side, there's just not a lot of great stuff here. I know the Texas offense has been really poor in the last month against lefties, but they should be able to hit against Parker here. It's only his second season in the MLB. Last week, Masson came out and reported that he's in danger of losing his rotation spot. He has a 4.71 ERA, doesn't really keep the ball on the ground. His walk rate is over 10%, really low strikeout rate, so I think he should struggle today, especially because there's a hitting boost with the weather as well. 81 degrees at first pitch, 70% humidity, and it looks like the wind has changed. It's now blowing out kind of toward that right foul pole, but maybe a little toward right field. So I'm expecting some scoring here.
Yeah, I'm actually playing just kind of a wacky alt prop here on this one, just going with how absolutely ridiculously terrible this Texas offense has been. And Mitchell Parker is, you're getting really good alt numbers on his strikeout because he's just not a strikeout guy. As you mentioned, he's got a low strikeout rate. You're not even going to believe that this is a real stat, but it is, I promise you. Over the last 3 weeks, the Texas Rangers, when facing left-handed pitching, have struck out 33% of the time. One in every three batters. I didn't even believe it. And I had to go in and look at this. Over the last 3 weeks versus left-handers, they have struck out 33% of the time against lefties. And so, listen, I played 5 and 6 Ks. His K prop's way down at 3.5. So you get like decent plus money. You get 240 or something like that on 5 and 6 pluses up at 330. I'm just going to go with the fact that they can't hit lefties. And you look, it's, you're getting plus money for a reason. Parker's a low strikeout dude, and that's why we're getting the kind of price that we're getting on this. But I couldn't even believe when I saw that, and I went and dug in to make sure that I wasn't, like, losing it. But that is actually the truth. The last 3 weeks, one in every three dudes has struck out versus left-handed pitching for this Rangers team. So just playing that this team can't hit lefties currently. You got the Marlins and the Rays as well, Weathers versus Bradley.
Yeah, hold up. I'm trying to find my notes here. Yep. I played the Marlins plus 135. Basically, I think these pitchers should be a little bit more closely rated. Granted, Weathers only has 4 starts, but it looks good so far. A 2.49 ERA, a 2.65 expected, a low barrel and hard hit rate. He's striking out guys at a rate over 25%. I was trying to even look for spots for negative regression to him. It looks like he has gotten lucky on a sweeper and slider, but still, the expected mark is really good. It's an expected weighted on-base average of 170. Like, that's how good he's been. It's like, I'm trying to find the worst spots, and there's not much there. Taj Bradley, I know he was a highly rated prospect. He's shown flashes. But at this point in the season, he's just not the better pitcher. Has a high walk rate. His strikeout rate is down from what his career average should be. 3.95 ERA, a 4.25 FIP. So I just think the price shouldn't be as, there shouldn't be as big of a gap as it is. And I meant to mention the bullpen behind Weathers too. Miami in the last month actually ranks top 3 in xFIP and walk rate, top 8 in strikeout rate. So I'm backing the Marlins pitching in this one.
Yeah, I am looking here. I don't know if someone got scratched or if everyone just woke up and decided, like, oh, I'm going to add the Dodgers in every money line parlay that I played. But they have rocketed up to minus 200 favorites in that game since we talked about it. So we talked about it a segment ago. So I'm trying to see if something happened, if someone got scratched, or again, like, everyone just adding them into every single money line parlay that they have going today. But yeah, they're now up to minus 200. You can find plus if you like. If you like the Cardinals, you can find plus 178 out there right now. So There is a much bigger number than we saw a little bit earlier. All right, Gary, so we said we're going to get to it. Let's get to it right now. Pacers plus 300 to win the series. You going to play it or you going to pass it?
I'm going to pass it, not because I don't believe they can win, but because I just think that's a totally cheap price. We're getting ripped off. Like, you even look at the game tonight as an 11-point or whenever it is, 11-point dog. I think they're plus 450 on the money line, I think. And then if they go home, I would assume they'd be like a 7.5-point dog, which if you use a parlay calculator, that comes out to plus 253 on the money line. Basically, if you were to play them as an underdog every money line, like, that's what you should be doing. That's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. Like, 3-1 is just not a good price.
And if you're somebody that, like, just doesn't have the discipline to do the rollover, I mean, and you want to play the Pacers, look, they're not sweeping, and I don't think they're winning 4-1 either. So 4-2 is plus 750, 4-3 is plus 950. I would play it that way before I would play the 3-1 to win the series. Either team to come back from a 20-plus point deficit, plus 425. We've already seen a 15-point one erased. What about a 20-point one? No, I'm passing. Not happening.
Oh, really?
Yes, not
okay.
happening.
See, I have no idea how you're supposed to price this, but I would just say, like, we've seen the most 20-point comebacks in this playoffs in NBA history, and the Pacers are the kings of the comeback. So I wouldn't really be surprised if it happened again.
All-in price here if you want to come play with us at Circa, guys. $400, two-night stay, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and a day bet at Stadium Swim. All-in pricing at $400. No additional fees, no additional anything. You get that. CircaLasVegas.com. When we come back, we got Samich here on the desk to talk Animal NASCAR.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. What an interesting thing that we have, because it's actually Matt Brown and Grace Remington today, but we do have, in fact, right there, Mike Somich joining us here on the desk. He is going to talk some horse racing with us. Of course, we know today is the Belmont, but we say this every single Saturday and Sunday, Mike. The dollar that you bet in any of the other races still pays out in the same that it does in any of the air quote famous races.
That is correct. Yes. You just get more money bet into the famous races, so you can get somewhat of an advantage. I know we talked last week about betting Baeza in the fixed odds market, anywhere from plus 400 to plus 500 when we were talking about it. He's 5-2 right now. So if you got that bet in your account, congratulations. Oh. You got some serious CLV.
Oh, look at me. Okay.
Doesn't mean it's going to cash.
No, it doesn't.
But hey, you're ahead of the game a little bit here.
Let's talk to this guy. Let's get him. I got to get him hyped up, man. Let's go. Let's get him some Red Bull or something in there.
And we were supposed to have 14 races today. Unfortunately, upstate New York went full upstate New York on us, and it rained heavily last night and all morning today. All of the turf races got taken off. There were two grade one turf races that were supposed to be run. Both of those got moved to tomorrow. So now we have a phenomenal card tomorrow with 13 races, but it does diminish the value a little bit on this Belmont card. Still a lot of fun races. We've got the Belmont, which is the 13th, and then the 11th as well. Just a phenomenal race, going 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and the Woody Stevens, with a lot of those Derby horses we talked about who couldn't quite handle two turns, cutting back to one turn in a grade one there at Saratoga as well.
Okay, Mike, Matt faked me out earlier because he was talking about how your ancestry impacts how fast you run in mud, but now you're telling us they're running in turf today. So we talked all of our strategy and it all went to waste?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
You're good. You're good. So they have two.
Good.
Horses run on multiple surfaces. So there's turf horses, there's dirt horses, and there's synthetic horses. The Belmonts run on dirt, so that is not a problem. Everything that you talked about around the progeny and the sire and the dam, all of that does matter, and depending on who the sire is, it does make a difference on how well they want to run over and off track, which is going to be a factor today. The one horse I would actually knock would be Baeza over the off track from a sire perspective, but we saw him handle it phenomenally in the Kentucky Derby, and so that to me is much less of an issue, because once a horse proves that he can handle a surface, handle a distance, I become much less concerned the second time around, even if you don't have that same background in the progeny that says it's going to be a big plus for him.
So what do we think about what's the latest on the track and the conditions and how this is going to be?
Oh, it's going to be sloppy.
Okay.
We finally got some sun today. Okay. It was about 30 minutes ago that the sun came out. And so the track is going to dry out a little bit, but literally 18 straight hours of rain. And when you get 18 straight hours of rain,
there's nothing you can do about
it. You got no shot at trying to clear out the track. It's the reason why they took those turf races today that were grade ones and moved them to tomorrow, because they'd still like to keep them on the turf. But you can't run on the turf. It would just cut it up too much. It wouldn't be safe for the horses or the jockeys as well. So definitely going to affect the race. One thing that we've seen from Saratoga over the years is that if it is muddy specifically and they're going two turns, often speed is very good. That would be a big time advantage for the number three Rodriguez and the number five Crudo, and would be a detriment to the number two Sovereignty's chances. But we have not seen those same trends play out today. And as the track dries out, you would think that it's going to become more and more fair and less speed favoring. So I don't think the mud is going to be a major storyline when we actually run this race, because we have seen so many of these horses have success over the mud, and so many of them are bred to handle this type of course as well. I think it's going to end up being a very fair, very fun race. I mean, this is one of those Belmonts that, yeah, we don't have a Triple Crown winner or a Triple Crown on the line here, but the fact that we have so much talent in this race with Baeza, with Sovereignty, with Journalism, we've got the Derby winner, we have the Preakness winner, you get Rodriguez, who is going to be your third choice, fourth choice in the Derby had he been able to run, reinserted here into the Triple Crown mix. Hill Road won the Peter Pan over the Aqueduct track for trainer Chad Brown. He gets Irad Ortiz up. There's just storyline after storyline after storyline, and Crudo's Bobby Flay's horse. So you got a Bobby Flay horse here as well. So a lot of different things happening here in the Belmont.
I'm starting to like
another storyline. We're getting a rematch between Sovereignty and Journalism. So no Triple Crown threat, but I still think that's just as exciting. Do you feel better about either one of those horses?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic that we get both of them in this race. The fact that Journalism decided to run in all three Triple Crown races, I think, adds juice to the Belmont here. And the fact that Sovereignty controversially skipped the Preakness and Bill Mott came out and put his foot in his mouth and said, we just didn't feel like it, that's why he didn't run in the Preakness, makes this even more interesting, because you've got one trainer who kind of danced all the dances and the other one who skipped the middle dance just to prep for this one. I think it's advantage Journalism in this race, and a lot of it is because of pace. Like, I picked Sovereignty in the Derby, and when we talked about that race, it was all about the speed and the pace and how it was going to set up. You had five speed horses out of the 20, inside, middle, outside. It was really going to benefit a closer, and Sovereignty got that trip. He sat in the back of the pack, swung wide, didn't deal with any traffic, and was able to just run on and run up to the win. Journalism was much closer to that pace. He had to use more horse early in that race, and you could see that really wear down on him later in the race at Churchill Downs. We saw him not have to use as much horse in the Preakness, and we saw what he had left in the tank there toward the end. So I think because of the way this race sets up, and specifically the fact that you only have two speed horses, it's just Rodriguez and Crudo, and I'm not convinced Crudo goes crazy here up front. I think Rodriguez gets a fairly easy lead heading into the first turn, and then it's just how good is he? Is he going to be able to take this field gate to wire with the caliber of horses that are going to be chasing him? I think it's going to be a long day for Sovereignty. He's the one of the three favorites. If I'm playing things, I'm leaving out.
Man, we've been doing shows together too long. I'm looking at these other races.
You know the names.
And I'm starting to recognize the names of these horses. And I'm like, what is this? This is, I don't like this. I don't like that I'm going like, oh, I know that horse. Uh-oh, see? I know that horse.
Yeah, this is your horse NASCAR. It's going to turn into race. I can't really say car race.
We got Patch Adams, Gate to Wire. Citizen Bull is racing a little bit
like
later,
a proud papa right now.
I know. This is Tiz Dashing is in that last race. Yeah. And oh, man, come on. Okay, let's get to, people are going, dude, shut up.
Let's just get to the picks. We don't care about Matt remembering names.
Let's shut up. Let's just get to the picks here. So what are we looking at?
We talked about this last week. I haven't changed my mind. I think Baeza wins this race. I thought that Kentucky Derby was a phenomenal effort from Baeza. Was basically shoulder to shoulder with a horse in the middle of Sovereignty around the far turn. Sovereignty gets a clean trip, able to just roll, never loses his momentum. Baeza has to weave through horses, gets cut off, has to tilt outside, doesn't get to really start running until we're about a quarter of a mile out from the finish line, and boy, did he come flying. He ends up just missing Journalism for second. I think he might have won the race. I think it would have been very close. But now you have a pace set up here that I think favors Baeza a lot more than Sovereignty. Baeza has early speed. He's actually the third fastest horse early in this race. If he's able to get out and get that catbird seat stalking the pace, I think he gets a perfect trip, able to get first run on both Rodriguez and Crudo. and I'm not sure anybody catches him. I keep like going back to that the Florida Derby where we saw Tapon Street beat Sovereignty, and Tapon Street just got there first, and that was why he was able to win the race. I think Baeza gets there first today, and then it's a question, can he get past Rodriguez, and can he can he hold off Journalism, who I think is going to be coming late to him? So I'm going to play the six to win. I'm going to play an exacta cold six with seven. So Baeza over Journalism. I think they run 1-2 coming from California. And then I'm going to play a superfecta here. Six in the first spot with the three Rodriguez and the seven Journalism. I think Rodriguez has a shot today to run a huge race because of how this pace sets up. And then in the third and fourth spot, I'll use the two Sovereignty, the three Rodriguez, and the seven Journalism. It's kind of chalky because it's the favorites, so that's one of the reasons I want to try and get Baeza on top, and I want to leave Sovereignty out of the second spot. That'll cost you $20 if you want to play that for $5. If I was going to add a price, it would be the One Hill Road into the third and fourth spots.
Right.
I do think that he has a chance to run up into the minor awards, and if you want to fade Sovereignty completely, I don't hate the idea of putting the one instead of the two in both those third and fourth spots in the $5 ticket as well.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about Hill Road because that was the long shot you had mentioned in your write-up. He's 10-1, but he was paired with jockey Ortiz Jr., who has already won this race twice. So would you just take Hill Road as that long shot outright, I guess, or do you feel comfortable throwing him into your box bets here?
I don't think he has a great shot of winning the race, so I would not bet him outright. It feels like the winner really is going to come. In my mind, I would be very surprised if it's not the 3, 6, or 7. I wouldn't be shocked if Sovereignty wins, but I would be surprised if he does. I think the one is clearly the next best horse, and if you look at stylistically how this race plays out, I think it's hard for the 5 Crudo to stick around as a long shot. The 4 Uncaged and the 8 Heart of Honor would both surprise me. You could make a case the 8 could run fourth here, but I think it would be tough to do so, especially after what we saw in the Preakness. And so the 1 becomes the logical option if you want to try and get a price in here. And so I do think this is an improving horse. It's a lightly raced horse. It's going to be third time out of the Chad Brown Barn. All reasons that you could see him improve, take a step forward here at the Belmont. Handles the distance fine, should handle the track fine. So all of that fits if you do want to take a little bit bigger of a price in those third and fourth spots.
I just fired way too much money on this race. Yeah, I have like, I just watched, like, you know when you watch your balance just go tick, 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 down. Yeah.
Real quick.
I'm going to have to win.
Since we got 30 seconds here. Saratoga 11, the grade one Woody Stevens. Patch Adams, watch out.
I just mentioned Patch Adams.
Four horse, 5-1. I think he wins. I do think that the two horse Maticat Road runs big too. Of course, we've talked about a lot.
Look at that. I just mentioned Patch Adams. I guess I'll have to play him. Listen.
It was meant to be.
I recognize some of the names now. I'm not proud of it, okay?
You should be.
I'm not proud of it, but I do recognize some of the horses' names. You can catch Mike a little bit later on the network. They'll be breaking down all of the races and, of course, be live on air when that happens. Good luck, buddy.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown, Grace Remington, as we just got the picks there from Somich on what he thinks is going to go down today at the Belmont. Again, if you want further insight, further analysis, they will be on air after us today for a couple of hours. So they'll be breaking everything down, leading you right into post time and getting things going over there. Cubs 3-1 over the Tigers right now at the end of the sixth inning. Jameson Taillon has gone six innings here, Grace, for this Cubs team. Only allowed 3 hits, has only walked 1. He has struck out 5 Detroit Tigers, and so they hold that 3-1 lead there. We talked about Holton being the opener. He went 1 1/3. He did strike out a couple of guys, but gave up a solo shot and to Seiya Suzuki, as we mentioned, and then Montero took over. He has now gone 4 2/3 for them. Only a couple hits allowed by him, but unfortunately, again, there are big hits. Home run given up there for him. Mm-hmm. So even though he's only given up 2 and struck out 4, still giving up 2 earned runs out there. So 3-1 right now, and your bet's looking good.
Yeah. A big part of this was basically just Jameson Taillon is the better pitcher in this matchup than Keiter Montero. And so far it looks like that's kind of gone to plan. So like starting the day out with a winner here.
Well, starting things out here on that first 5 over with the Jays and the Twins, pretty good as well, as Chris Paddock gives up an earned run in the top of the first inning. So one across for Toronto. Kevin Gausman taking the hill in the bottom of the first now, going up against this Twins lineup. So we're getting some things going over there. We got some things brewing here, Grace.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's see. I guess Dodgers Cards, that first inning just ended. Need the over in that game. But hey, we got a lot of time
left. This is how you do it whenever, like, if a bet is not looking good in a game, you just always say, hey, there's a lot of time left. You know, there's a lot of game left. There's a lot of game left. Don't worry about it. Guys, we're going to bet the cycle as we do here each and every Saturday and Sunday. Single, double, triple, and home run. Single being the easiest bet, one of the ones that we like the best, lowest odds, and of course it progresses up from there. For me, it's a bet I do have in the account, Grace. Orioles, -120 at the A's. I think people woke up this morning and decided that that was a bet that they also wanted to make, because this is now, like 125, 130 at most places in favor of the Orioles. But it's almost as if this Orioles team remembered they had a ton of talent and have started to hit the ball at least a little bit better. And this A's team is just so incredibly gross right now. Cannot get anything done. Their pitching is so terrible. Severino, not good still. And Morton, weirdly enough, over the last couple starts, Grace, even though he's 150 years old, has been a pretty serviceable pitcher for them as well. I know we never like to go, back a team in the small park there in Sacramento, but at this small price, with the way that the Orioles are trending right now and the way that this A's team is playing, I thought it was a little bit of a value. So I did, in fact, play the Orioles over the A's tonight.
Yeah, I like that play. It's weird to see Charlie Morton. He was exiled to the bullpen for a bit this season. But he honestly, he's one of my favorite players I've ever covered. He's just a true professional. So I'll always root for him. But yeah, his last two starts have been quality starts. So I like him there. And then Luis Severino, it's all just trending down. So yeah. Good pick.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. What you looking at for your single?
All right, my single, and I have a feeling we're going to be going to this game a lot.
Yes.
I'll start off with Juan Soto. Just one RBI at -115. So he's playing in Rocky Stadium today against Carson Palmquist, who is a young guy. He is 0-4 so far this season with an 850 ERA. So Juan Soto should be able to tee off on him. He went 3-for-4 at the plate yesterday, scoring 2 runs with a walk, and he's had 6 ribbies in his previous 7 games. So I just need 1 ribby today.
Producer Corey is going to go with the Mets over 17.5 total bases. That comes in at a little bit, just a tiny bit of juice there, -120. Again, we're going to talk this game a ton here, so we'll continue to expound on why we like this one here. So my double, Carson Palmquist versus the Mets under 14.5 outs. You get +115 on that one. The Mets are going to bat him around the yard. I don't think he makes it very deep into this game, and so I'm taking the plus money too at under the 14.5 outs that he does not make it 5 innings for us here.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna I just love how we all just zeroed in on this game. I typically stay away from any game played in Coors Field just because there's so much variance with that environment there, but for the sake of Mets props today, we're in a good spot. I guess for my next one, though, for my double, I'll go to a different game here. Let's do Nick Martinez under 3.5 strikeouts at +110. I know these low numbers are always kind of sweaty, but looking at what he's done so far, he's gone under this line 6 of 12 times. That's 50%. So you're pricing it based on that. +10 is already a good price. But he's gone under this in 4 straight starts. His strikeout rate, 16.8%, is the lowest of his career since 2018 when he played in the NH League. I won't lie to you, Matt. I have no idea what the NH League is. I just know it's not the majors and it's not the KBO. It's something else. Arizona is a tough punch out too. They rank 6th in strikeout rate, just over 18%. So Nick Martinez under 3.5 strikeouts.
I am looking at Corey here, and he is going to go with Logan Webb, 8-plus strikeouts at +285 for his double. I went to the well with Logan Webb a couple of different times throughout the course of the last 2 weeks, weirdly enough. And so One of the deals where some of these guys make little adjustments here and there, Grayson, I think that that's what we have going on here with him, because this was not a guy that was a high strikeout guy. He was an average strikeout guy for the vast majority of his career. It was never low. He was just kind of right there where you expected him to be, in that 20, 21, 22% range. It has spiked up to nearly 28% this year, and his swinging strikes up nearly 3 percentage points from 8.5% to 11.4%. So I think he figured some stuff out and has become a much more high K rate pitcher is Logan Webb. And so I do not mind this play one bit. I think that the books are still a little bit behind on Logan Webb and the adjustments that he's made.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm looking at his pitching breakdown now. It looks like those punch outs are coming from the sweeper and the changeup. His changeup, just year over year, the whiff rate on that has increased from 22% to 38%. And it's dropped a little bit in velo, but sometimes when you have a bigger velo gap between your fastball and changeup, that helps. The whiff rate on the sweeper has increased from 26% to 32%. It looks like those adjustments are working well for him. But, yeah, I like that alt line for him.
My triple Mets alt team total over 9.5 at plus 240. We just continue to pound this game. Jeez. I mean, like, again, I there's not much more to say. Lots of hits. There's cavernous, like, the gaps are forever. You can get triples all over the place in this one. I Mets team total over here at plus money.
Yep, and one of the guys who's going to help you cash that team total is Pete Alonso to hit a home run at plus 220. He has 11 RBI and 3 dingers over his last 4 outings. He has faced Palmquist before. He hit a 3-run shot off of him.
So. Yeah, this is just – I know we keep picking on the same – it's just such a good game to pick on, though. So, I mean, like, you know, yep. Look – I have no shame in picking on this game, like, whatsoever at all. Corey is going to go with his triple. Jackson Churio, 4+ hits, run, RBI. So, again, any combination of those three, he just needs 4 at least of those at plus 310. My home run, Mitchell Parker. Talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm playing the alts on him. I couldn't believe what I saw as to how bad that the Rangers have been versus left-handed pitching of recently. 6+ for me on Mitchell Parker at plus 330. What's your home run?
I'm going to go with an actual home run prop.
I like
Teoscar
it.
Hernandez, 5-1 in this Dodgers Cards game, which we hit on earlier. I like the over in that one. But he's playing Eric Fetty. Against him, he is 3-for-6. 2 of those hits were home runs. And 5 of Hernandez's long balls this season are against right-handed pitchers. Four of them came on the road. So I think just a good spot for him.
And Corey's home run, Junior Caminero, 2+ RBI, plus 425. So we got some nice little, you know, again, stuff that we really, really love and some stuff. Yeah, it's a little bit longer, but some nice prices on those. And I do think they are all well within the range of outcomes. Guys, our splits page, we know you love it. So head on over there, VSiN.com. You can subscribe right now for as low as $9.99. So if you just kind of want to dip your toe in, see what goes on for the first month, we got you covered. $9.99 for that first month, VSiN.com/subscribe. We get the splits from Circa. We get the splits from DraftKings. You can see where the big national book, and then of course the book that's taking the big bets in a little bit sharper action. So compare, contrast, see if it's a tiebreaker for you. Maybe there's something you can glean from what's going over there on the splits page. Again, $9.99 for your first month, VSiN.com/subscribe.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Grace Remington, and now I'm looking and I'm wondering if our handicap is now thrown out the window.
Which
Something
one?
Came through and says Erman Marquez is starting for the Rockies today.
No.
Let's see if this is this real or fake news? I think it might be real.
More likely than not, that person is also not good.
Yeah, Armand Marquez is not good too, but he's at least he is at least somewhat pedigreed.
He's better.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. Okay. Well, when it officially is official, which it seems like it is officially official. Yeah, that's looks like our. So take everything that we said. And just maybe apply it to Armand Marquez. But again, it was a whole handicap based around a single person that apparently is not going to go anymore. So there's a that is unfortunate, but that happens in baseball. By the way, if you guys are baseball bettors and you dig into the menus, if you do have a handicap that is solely based off against the starting pitcher, you can bet and make sure that it's as listed pitchers, right? And so if for if something like this happens, and you know, you were really and truly the whole handicap was around the starting pitcher for the Rockies. With it getting switched out, you would actually get your bet refunded. So kind of a teaching moment here for all of this. It isn't the default bet, but if you go in and you click on the game, you can bet listed pitcher only. And if you want to go that route, then you can. And then Grace, when something like this happens, you can at least get your bet back.
Yeah. That's always the way to go in baseball because, you know, you're throwing a starter for over half of the game. Mm-hmm. That's huge to the handicap. So make sure you're always clicking the option that says listed pitcher. I don't feel – look, the odds are, like, these props that we just gave out are still going to hit.
Yeah.
Maybe for, like, some of the specific matchups, like Pete Alonso against Palmquist, like, sure – can't go off that anymore, but Alonso could still go long against Marquez. So I don't feel really that bad, but
yeah.
I mean, for the sake of like sides, totals, all that, make sure you're clicking. Yeah.
I mean, he's a career, you know, I mean, this is like, now granted, he has played in Colorado his whole career. So like,
that's it. So I was about to go look at his career home versus away. Cause a lot of these Rockies guys, their away splits are just as bad as the home stats.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
they are just actually not talented pitchers.
Yeah, like he is a high fours ERA type of dude. Like, I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is with all of that. By the way, looking really good here in your Cubs bet as they tacked on two more here. So 5-1 Cubs over the Tigers. And you got it done with Tyon. Tyon goes 7 innings for them. I'm assuming his day is done with 84 pitches, but maybe they let him come back out. We'll see. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, only 1 earned. The handicap that Tyon was the better of the options here. I know that we had an opener for the Tigers, but Montero did end up going 5 2/3 for them. Tyon gets it done there for the Cubs.
Yep. Like this one, this kind of went exactly as planned. Although I think Tyon's K prop, I'm pretty sure that was 3.5. So he goes over it pretty easily.
This Cubs team's going to be sneaky because they mash. If they can just find 3 starters that give them good outings the majority of the time, because once you get to the playoffs, as we know, everything shrinks down and all that. Like, this Cubs team might be feisty.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they were my pick to win the Central preseason. I don't think I bet it just because it was too short of a price. I don't exactly remember. I just know I didn't find value in it. So I'm not too surprised, though. I mean, the Cardinals was surprising to start the year. Cincy, I could feel like they could do something in a couple years once they grow up a bit, I guess. This Cubs team – really like what they've built here.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I'll admit, I was a little bit down on them, mainly because of starting pitching. I just didn't think that they were going to have enough to get it done. But these guys so far have stepped it up, and it certainly helps whenever your team just mashes like it does for them to get wins. So keep an eye there on that team. We do have more first pitches that are coming throughout the course of the day. Red Sox and the Yankees. This is an interesting pitching matchup between Garrett Crochet and Ryan Yarbrough. This is currently sitting on about -1. Wow, this is about a coin flip. So about a coin flip out there, actually. Mm-hmm. Just slightly shaded towards the Yankees at home here against the Red Sox. One of the dudes out there, you see adjustments. We were talking about the adjustments maybe that we're looking at from Logan Webb. Well, Yarbrough is a dude that has made a decent amount of of changes to his pitch arsenal here, Grayson. It's actually worked out very, very well for him so far. I mean, you're looking at a guy here that, yeah, the surface stat is 283, but I mean, the expected's 291 xERA, 345 Sierra, 36 xFIP. I mean, like, this is not that bad for him. And you look, and what's the difference? Well, how about a K rate that is typically sat below 20%, all the way up at 24.7%, a walk rate that is down a point and a quarter from last season, and then the swinging strikes up nearly 3% as well. And I don't know if you've seen any of these starts here recently, but he's throwing like a 71 mile an hour changeup. Right. He's throwing like this, like 91 mile an hour fastball. So he doesn't throw hard anyway, but then he like takes 20 miles an hour off the changeup. He's throwing this little balloon ball in there, and dude's like swing twice before the ball gets to the plate.
Right.
But it's working. I mean, like he's getting career high swinging strikes, career high K rate so far, all this. So he's just figured out some stuff that is at least for the time being baffling some hitters.
Yeah, I had to double check when I first saw that strikeout rate from him, because he is another pitcher I covered when I was with the Rays a couple years ago. And I thought, no way this is the same guy that was an opener and a bulk reliever with the Rays. But it's all about that changeup. The whiff rate on that pitch is up to 47%, which is more than double what it was for his entire career. That 47% whiff rate is actually the 33rd best whiff rate of any pitch for any pitcher in the majors right now. And you kind of mentioned it. It's so slow, 78, 79 miles an hour. Hitters get excited to see it coming. They just swing and miss.
Yeah.
Another thing he's changed, he never threw a sinker, but we're starting to see pitchers kind of expand their arsenal.
Yeah.
Sinker seems to be the trendy thing. So he's now... Last year, it was his primary pitch. Now he's throwing it 23% of the time. And then the whiff rate on his sweeper is up as well to 42%. So he's made a lot of changes, and they've all panned out really well.
Yeah, gotten rid of that four-seamer almost. Like, he just rarely throw about, right. like you know, 24% of the time. He's literally just almost gotten rid of it. And I think that's the big thing. Because when you top out at 91, if you're throwing a four-seamer, unless you were like – absolutely pristine, precise as to where to put it. Like, these dudes are going to crush it. So he just goes, okay, I won't throw it anymore. it's actually worked out for him so far. So I get why the Yankees are slight favorites, because their lineup from a hitting standpoint is just much, much, much better than the Red Sox.
No, I agree. I mean, it's truly a coin flip game. It's hard. Gosh, it was really hard for me when I was capping this last night to pick a side. Cause obviously, you know, you love Garrett Crochet as well, even though I do think he's due some negative regression here. What I came across, and I'm not actually going to bet this, but I just need something for the sake of content here. Hey, this is our job. So I was thinking Yarbrough, the under on his outs, and I know we just sang his praises, but he typically doesn't go long. He doesn't keep the ball on the ground, and Boston has increased its fly ball rate in the last 2 weeks, and Boston is a top three offense against lefties. I went back to 2021, which was the closest he ever got to being a full-time starter, and he went over 16 and a half outs only half the time, 15 of 30 times, but a lot of those games were as the bulk reliever. So it's not really the same, you know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to measure his outs line because of his background. But if I were to bet anything, I think that's what it would be, because I just think Boston gets him out of the game early.
Paddock has given up another run there for the Twins. So the Blue Jays up 2-0 now in the third inning. Three hits off Paddock already. One walk to go along with a homer that he has given up. So two earned across for him. Kevin Gausman, 2 1/3 in. He is not allowed a hit yet. He will, I promise you. He's not going to throw a no-hitter, but he is not allowed a hit yet here for this Blue Jays team. So two runs there early. One more tacked on, by the way, by the Cubs. So it is now 6-1 in favor of the Cubs. So I'm guessing now with that extra run, we will probably see the end of Jameson Taillon. Probably just go to the bullpen. No need to tax him. Up at 84 pitches, he gets you what you need, and you have a 5-run lead to protect there. In that one. When we come back, we will update all the scores going on across all of the sports out there. We have crowned a French Open champion, and what's going on up in Canada at this golf tournament. We'll let you know when we come back on Ready, Set, Bet.